Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody. We have a few visitors with us today. We're very glad that you are able to worship with us and hope it is beneficial to us. I know it's pleasing to God. Have a couple of announcements real quick. The Fulbrights sent a card. I will post it on the bulletin board. Kind of looks like this. They just send their love to everybody at this time. They are moved into a house. Colin said they're still up to their eyeballs in boxes, but they've got them a house, and the kids are in school and everything, and they just send their love to us. Also, Diane Franks, her and her son Patrick, they are going to be spending the night tonight in Oklahoma City. They wish everybody happy holidays. After tonight, they'll go on into Tennessee. Raven is improving. She's been sick lately, and sends her best to everybody and wishes everybody happy holidays and her love. We also need to keep, there's a number of people traveling. Niger has requested prayers. She's going to be traveling this Thursday. I'm going to the Fort Worth area, and then we'll be coming back the following Tuesday, and we need to remember her. And I'm sure there's a number of us that will be traveling, either us ourselves or family and friends coming in to see us. So let's remember them. Let's go to God real quick in a word of prayer, and then we will get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We are so thankful for your love, your protection, your guidance. We ask that you be right now with Diane and her son Patrick as they're traveling to Tennessee. We ask that you be with Niger as she is going to be traveling to Texas. We ask that you be with those of us that are going to be traveling soon, this coming week, or family or friends that will be traveling. Keep them safe and bring them back to their homes safely. Be with us as we continue our worship to you and as we open up your word and look at principles that you want us to know. Dear God, we thank you. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen. It's good to see Scott with us today. He's been out. He had an appendectomy recently and finally up and around. And I'm sure he's feeling better than he did about a week ago. So anyway, last week we looked at examples of bad fear. And we've all been scared at times in our life. And we looked at some of the things that are natural, some of the things that we sometimes waste our time on with fear. Sometimes fear just paralyzes you from acting, from acting in life, from participating. I remember once on Bobby and his cousins were out doing something, and something scared them. Most of them just scattered like a covey of quail. I'm wanting to say Bobby and one of his cousins just dropped to the ground, just out of fear. Couldn't even run, Sometimes fear does that to you. Faith that crumbles your faith. How many times have we seen that with Christians, that they're fearful of things worldly or spiritually, and the end result is it has an effect on their faith. The fear of others. What a dumb one. This is just dumb. I'm just telling you. Fear of others, the peer pressure. What will others think? Now, I'm not saying it isn't good to have a good reputation with people. That's totally different. But living your life at the whims of what others think. the fear of dealing with issues. You know, that you're worried about things coming up and you just don't do anything. And you think they'll just go away. It doesn't. The fear of things, this is a big one. Fear of things we can't control. But yet we invest so much of our time, our mental energies on things we cannot control. We looked at those last week. I want to look at some examples of good fear. And there are reasons to have legitimate fears. You know, respect of God. God the Creator, there's reason to have a respectful, reverent fear.
Amen.
Of God. He created us. He's demonstrated that he will destroy the world. He's capable of it. He's got a track record. He's done it once. And he's promised he's going to do it again. Last I read in Scripture, God doesn't break his promises. Fear of consequences. God's given us our senses. He's given some people more sense than others, but he's given people, you know, the fear of consequences. It doesn't take long to learn a stove is hot. And most people learn from it. A respectful fear of guns. I'm scared to death of drugs. Never. My sister did enough experimenting for the both of us. Never wanted to mess with that stuff. God's given us fear of consequences. That keeps us alive. Keeps us from driving 100 and gazillion miles an hour because of the consequences. Fear of the devil and losing salvation. I hope that's a fear that we all have. A fear that we keep in the back of our mind that is possible. It's not an old wives' tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. The scripture that Chris read this morning comes from Proverbs 1:7. Says the fear of the Lord. Not that I'm scared of God. Like a big dog or a hot stove. Not that kind of fear. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That reverent, godly fear of who God is. He's the Creator. He's created us. He's created this world. That power deserves fear and respect and reverence. And that, acknowledging God, acknowledging that he is the Creator, that's the beginning of our walk. That is the beginning of any knowledge that we have in relation to God. In Romans 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he's quoting Old Testament, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift. Swift to shed blood. Not just stumble upon that, but they are swift to do it. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. In verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They're going to have a rude awakening. They're going to one day, and they will, have an eye-opening experience. There is no fear of God in their eyes. How many people in this world today does that fit? It is just that they have no knowledge. They have no respect. They have no concern that there is a God. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. That godly fear, understanding that there are consequences, godly fear is associated here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It always says, by faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, you know, Moses. It always follows with acts of obedience, demonstrating that godly fear that they have. Godly fear and obedience go hand in hand. And that goes back to that first verse we read in Proverbs, that the beginning, that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And that godly fear is equated with obedience when you truly realize that. In Matthew 27, as Jesus was on the cross, it's in verse 54, it says, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened. I like that. That might be a good lesson someday. And the things that had happened. It just wasn't the earthquake. There was total darkness in the land. An eclipse. The tombs were opened up and dead people were walking around. This just kind of, you gloss over this, the earthquake and the things that had happened. They feared greatly, saying truly, this was the Son of God. They had that godly fear. They realized where this had come from. They had witnessed, maybe even were ones that had participated with, you know, with the beatings, with the scourging, with the mocking. And when they realized it, fear came over them. And they realized, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. And where do I stand in this? I was part of crucifying him. I was the one that beat him with the whips. I was the one that punched him in the face, spat on him. I jabbed the crown of thorns on his head. They were moved with fear. In Acts 10, it's talking about the man Cornelius. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what it was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Here is a reflection of somebody that has that godly fear, that reverence. He gives of his means. He prays to God always. And it describes him as a devout man who feared God. And skipping over to verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house, talking about Peter, and to hear words from you. Here again, that godly fear equated with obedience. And then in verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Peter had respect and godly fear. He obeyed. Cornelius had godly fear and respect. He obeyed because of that. In Acts 9, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Amen. If they weren't walking in the fear of the Lord and had the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were not going to be multiplied. Now, a group might be multiplied. Worldly groups can be multiplied and grow. But not in this way. Not in this way that if they're walking in the fear of the Lord. And if they're being endorsed and have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When all of those are going together, that's the growth of the church. In Hebrews 12:28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. That's the key. Acceptably with reverence and godly fear. God wants us to serve him with reverence and godly fear. And there is a way. On the front of our bulletin and on the order of worship, we see John 4:24 that we have to worship in spirit and in truth. That we may serve God acceptably. There are people that serve God unacceptably. Why? Because they're not doing what God prescribed them to do. If you don't think you can serve God unacceptably, someday ask Nadab and Abihu. They offered sacrifices to God. They offered strange fire, but it wasn't the way God wanted. Whatever it wasn't the way God wanted. It was unacceptable to him. And they suffered the consequences. They did not have that godly, reverent fear. I'm sure they did for a split second. For a moment there they did, after they realized what they had done. But then they were burned up. In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't have to have a cowering fear of God. A respectful, reverent, love fear of God. But we don't have to live cowering as Christians. because we're obedient. We've got the blood of Christ covering us. And when God looks at us, he sees saints covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Not alien sinners. Matthew 10:28, Jesus himself says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's what you need to fear. Not the worldly things. Not the peer pressure of people. Not worrying about what might happen tomorrow. But the spiritual things. Fear him who's able to destroy the soul and our body in hell. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed," love how he ties all that in, "as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling."
Amen.
When you realize what is on the line, it will be with fear and trembling. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
God is love. God loved us so much he gave his son. But he also is a God that destroyed the world because of disobedience and said he'll do it again. Solomon kind of wraps it all up and puts a nice, neat bow on it. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Solomon's going to tell us what the bottom line is. He says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad, or whether good or evil." We need to fear and respect God because that can lead to salvation.
Amen.
Nobody in the Bible has ever been saved that didn't have that healthy, godly fear. God was the creator. He created us. And he is able to destroy both our body and our soul if we're not obedient. If you've stumbled in obedience and need to repent, I urge you to. If you haven't been baptized, you haven't done what God has wanted you to do. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." We have to be obedient to the words of Jesus. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you've been looking around, going to some of the congregations of the church here in town, and kind of like us, kind of like worshiping with us, We have added a few families here just recently.
Amen.
Not to the church. You don't join this congregation. You know, you don't join the church. You're added. The Lord adds you when you're baptized. Acts 2:47. The Lord adds you. But if you would like to identify with us, worship with us, be counted that you're going to be here with us, we would love to use you. We would love to count you as one of our members here at South Valley. It's kind of hard to do that if people are bouncing around and never want to commit. Or does it mean if you're worshiping in other churches that you're not part of the Lord's church? No. But nobody can utilize you if you're always moving around, because we don't know if you're going to be here or not. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward, let your need be known. Kurt will lead us in the invitation song. Let's all stand and sing.